Oh, there. Boy, what a way. Hopefully when you start a show on that note, it's just going to get better. I don't know. We'll see. This one could suck, but I think it's going to be pretty great. We actually have cast. Let me stick a wrench on my jaw and realign it here. We actually have Captain Austin with us today, and he's in the studio. Yeah, the crowd goes crazy. It's Austin. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they love you, buddy. Hi, Austin.
What's going on? I guess it can only get like, better than this, huh?
You're one strange old man. That's the look on his face right now. Anyway, let's see. You've been out fishing today.
Yeah, unfortunately, it was a little bit windy today.
I think that's pretty much every day lately, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess you got to take the good with the bad.
Yeah, it's crazy how all this stuff is going on like this. It's hard to believe how much wind there is constantly.
Yeah, you ain't kidding. That sea breeze kicks in around 11 o'clock, and it just starts going after that.
Yeah, by 2 o'clock, it is significantly rough out.
Yeah, especially when you ride with the waves on the way out and you have to ride against them and they're bigger on the way back. Makes it a little less fun.
So what happened on your fishing excursion for the day?
It wasn't meant to be a fishing trip off the get-go. It was meant to just be a looking around trip. So we did a real lot of just scouting today. We did a little bit of fishing, caught a handful of snook, a handful of trout. But we covered probably, I would say, 50, 60 miles of shoreline today.
Really?
Yeah. We ran all through Placida, all through Turtle Bay, Bull Bay, Whidden Creek, Catfish Creek, the front, the backside of it. Running in a tower boat makes it a little bit easier to see them.
Gotcha. I'm actually, while I'm talking to you, doing, you know, I do these fishing reports with the circles and arrows and the pictures on paragraph on them to mm-hmm. tell explain what they are. Mm-hmm. Doing one right now about some of the snook you saw around the
Our main goal today was looking for redfish, and we didn't find a whole lot of redfish, not as many as I'd have wished to have found, but some. They're pretty spotty, and really a lot of them aren't that big, or they're real big. I seen one that was probably 25 pounds today.
Really?
Yeah, just one by himself.
Now, so where did you guys go to look for fish? Now, you were out with Tim Johnson, owner of Reaper Rods.
Yep. We looked for redfish in particular, but it seemed like everywhere we went, it was just snook. Snook in potholes, snook on corners, points, everywhere. And even spots we weren't even looking just came across snook. One spot in particular, that's a pretty easy spot to fish for snook. In between Turtle Bay, like the outside of the bar of Turtle Bay, all the way down to Bull Bay, in front of Gallagher's Point and everything else, or Gallagher's Creek.
Yeah, Gallagher's Cut.
Yeah, Gallagher's Cut. On the outside of the bar there and on the bar, there was a lot of snook. They were scattered. There wasn't a whole lot in one spot or the other, but they were all up and down. And if you were to work it, you could definitely have fun with them.
Now, you had said you had saw concentrations of 15 or 20 big snook, and
that was actually right before you get to Bull Bay on that sandbar on the right hand side, right on it.
Gotcha. Now, with that being said, you know it's what am I trying to say here? You're seeing a lot of snook. Now, this is the time of year snook are pregnant. They're all, you know, looking for mates and doing all that. And they have to get out to the barrier islands. And that area there, with no rain the way we've had it, the severe drought conditions, is the same for them as being on the beach mm-hmm. at Boca Grande. They wouldn't know the difference. Mm-hmm. You know, people forget, fish can't stick their head out of the water and look around and go, oh, gee, look, it, there's the lighthouse, and there's this island.
Yeah, here we are.
Island. Yeah, they're underwater. And if you want to see what a fish sees, go underwater.
They pretty much just need the right surroundings for them to breed. They don't need to be in a certain spot. They just need to have the right thing around them.
And I think that's what's going on with these fish, is that they are there, probably staging up for a spawn right there, mm-hmm. out in front of Bull Bay and Turtle Bay. And so if that's the case, and I'm right, which 50-50 shot, that fishing should stay good there for the next few weeks.
Yeah, and something you'll end up seeing is if you go over there and fish, on the big ones in particular, it's going to be one of two ways. It's going to be they're really eating or they want nothing to do with you. You can throw anything in front of them and they won't touch it, or they'll touch anything you throw.
You know, when I used to do it, I would go along with the boat and go fairly close where I could see where things are happening, but not close enough to spook them, but really just close enough to take a look. And you don't have to have a tower boat to do it. You can always have someone stand up on the seat.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
put the cooler on the deck or something.
Yeah, but you want to be safe about it. You don't want to fall, because falling, you know,
hurts.
Off a seat, you know, can be really painful, you know. I mean,
you might scare the fish.
Yeah, you know, this could be really bad. But have somebody stand up on the seat where they can hold on your shoulder or whatever, and just watch in the water. And the way you do this is you watch for a tree or something. You see the fish, you look up and see something along the shoreline to designate where it is. I'll idle along further, and, you know, for about another 5 minutes, and then I'll take the boat out and I'll come back on the electric motor.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I get back, it's been long enough where, okay, the boat went by and it's not a big thing anymore. And I stay back further using a 7.5-8 foot rod, making long cast, you know, getting up to the mm-hmm. shore wherever those fish were. But I work a little heavier in the spots where I actually saw fish.
Yeah, and it seemed like when we ran them over today, they came up. I mean, they took off, you know, and they settled right back down within 20 yards of where they were at. We were able to spin the boat around and go catch a few snook. It was pretty easy, to be
so
honest with you. We didn't catch no big ones, but
it was kind of like I said.
Yep, kind of like you said. And where a lot of the places were pretty heavily boat traffic too. I mean, we ran a few spots and boats that didn't have nobody up to see them or anything just passed them by, and we seen them. We gave them about 10 minutes, but we were running 20 miles an hour on the big motor. I mean, we ran them right over, came back, and they were sitting right back there.
And that seems to be the habit when fishermen this time of year, especially snook. They find a place, and I don't know if it's because there's other fish there they want to meet, or it's the proper bottom, or whatever it is. But if you spook out a spot, they want to go back to that spot.
Mm-hmm.
That was where they wanted to be. And believe it or not, a little extra boat traffic can be a very beneficial thing. It can be a very good thing.
Yeah, a little bit is bad. Either a lot or none is what you want.
Well, you want boats passing around so the fish get used to the noises of the boats and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, your boat isn't a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
And people, they say, oh, I want, you know, these people coming by and they're ruining my fishing. No. Relax, Tano. Sorry, Kemosabe, but the truth of this is that the boats going by and stuff, not stopping, really make it easier for you to be there, because the fish are used to the sound of the boat, they're used to the boats going by, and they're not feeling threatened by it. When you're all by yourself out there and there's nobody around,
they're spooky.
You got to be ghostly quiet.
Yeah, one live well hatch, cooler lid, or a stomp on the deck, they're gone.
Yep, one thump and
I'll tell you, we had a couple spots like that today in the back of some of, like, back of Catfish Creek, back of Woodens Creek, where it was too shallow for anyone to be today. Put the trolling motor down and sit there for a few minutes, not see nothing, not get no hits, flick the trolling motor on, poof, there they go.
It's crazy how that works.
Yeah, I mean, it literally 40, 50 yards from the boat, you flick the trolling motor on, it gives its little thump or whatever, kicks it in the gear, and poof, gone. You see them. Sometimes 20, 30 snook.
And that's one of the things you try and tell people, that it's boat traffic doesn't have to be your enemy. It can be your buddy, your pal, and you just have to have the right attitude and understand how things actually work. You know, you can't go around screaming, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, when it's just a feather from a passing duck.
Yeah, yeah.
And we go over that a lot. So anyway, so you saw a bunch of fish out in front of Bull Bay, Turtle Bay. I'm going to post maps up, guys. It'll be on the fishing update sections, and we're going to show you exactly what we're talking about. But as you rode around, now, what was the general feel for redfish?
They were pretty spotty. They're real spotty. I mean, it's one here, one there. We found one little group of probably 15 or 20 nice fish. But that was about it. I mean, and a lot of them went like 4 or 5 pounds. And it was one every couple hundred yards here, under a stick here, under a branch there, or on a flat. There was no real specific spots we've seen more than another on the redfish thing. Seen quite a few pompano too, just in some random places. Where I was saying out in front of Gallagher's was a couple pompano.
Yeah, you know, I love seeing them. Boy, they're a booger to catch.
I have only caught a handful of pompano.
I mean, I bet you the one thing you can always tell pompano, if you're going along and you're just on plane going, you know, on the water but not, you know, slow but not really quick, you know, I've had more jump in the boat than I've successfully caught.
I can't say I've had more do that, but I can't say I've caught more than 10. I've caught a few of them, but they've all been by accident, that's for sure.
Well,
they fight hard. They're fun to catch, though.
Years ago, I actually did pretty good pompano fishing. It's probably pretty bad overstatement, but I'll bet you over the years I've had 10 or 15 of them jump in the boat.
I've witnessed it before. I actually, the other day, had one almost hit me in the boat.
Really?
Yeah, pulling up the trolling motor, he skipped right in front. It was kind of funny. I'd have been mad if he actually hit me, but it was kind of funny that he didn't.
It's kind of neat that all of a sudden there you are, and next thing you know, there's a fish in your boat. You're like,
whoa, okay. Yeah. A good one at that. It's not a crappy one.
Yeah, it's not like those carp that everybody complains about.
These are not actually a carp. It's not a mullet. It's like, whoa.
Yeah, that's a pompano. Hey, gift from the gods. All right. Let's see. I know I started out this segment with an actual group of questions and ideas. I'm not sure what they were anymore. So, Captain Austin, you went out today mostly looking, saw some very, very few redfish. Did you get to see anything else? You saw some pompano and a lot of snook.
What else is going on? We've seen a ton of mullet today. I mean, like, an absurd amount of mullet, too.
Really?
Yeah. A lot in the back of Turtle Bay, a lot in the back of Catfish Creek, a lot in the back of Whitten Creek. I mean, there was an absurd amount of mullet and a lot of smaller ones, too. So it makes me believe that those bigger snook are feeding on, like, the 5-6-inch mullet out there, because there isn't much other food source out there. The greenbacks have been hard to get. There's a good amount of pinfish out there, but it seems like the bigger ones would be eating the bigger pinfish or the medium-sized mullet like that.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
The
mullet were like the size where you kind of thought they were threadfin, but you'd see them and they were mullet. But a real lot of mullet.
That's crazy. I wouldn't have thought, you know, everybody else has been saying how bad the fishing for mullet's been. Mullet fishing has been just bad in general. I'm really
a lot of small ones, though.
Yeah, but that's what we look for, you know. I like eating them. I think mullet are some of the best eating fish around. But right now, I'm interested in them as bait. You know, little small finger mullet.
Mm-hmm.
10, 12 inches for bait for tarpon, shark, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. I will say, if you're planning on going out there to try to catch some of those snook, I think live bait's going to be your best friend. We caught a couple of them on soft plastics, but not what we should have. I mean, there was a lot more there. I think there was potential of catching a lot more snook there.
You think if you would have been able to find white bait or something like that?
White bait, pinfish, I think even a live shrimp would work good for them under a cork, under a bobber. Just something that's going to move around a little bit. And to be honest with you, the snook, it seemed like they want to stay in one area. So I would, even if you get white bait, cut the tail off it, or a pinfish, just cut just the tail, like not none of the meat, just the tail, to where he's not going to swim as fast. So he stays in that area, stays in that pothole or under that tree that you're looking for. So
all right, now when you do that, are you putting them under a float or just free lining them?
I'll freeline them, and sometimes I'll put them underneath a float. I'll put them under a float if the wind's blowing or if he keeps coming back to the boat, just so I can kind of see where he's at. I don't use a float to really float them. I use it more of as a strike indicator.
You know, just as a bait location.
Yeah, thing. Yeah, just see where he's at, especially if you got more than one line in the water. It makes it a little easier if you got three people fishing.
We were doing that at Sansucci the other day, and basically with the bobber, I knew the water was about 3.5 feet deep where we were, and I had the bait set just so it was just off the bottom. I mean, it was real close, as long as I could make it and still cast it. But with the current, we could literally cast up into the current and let the bobber go up against by the pilings, pull it back out, get it to go in between the next set of pilings, pull it back out, get it to go between the next set of pilings.
Yep.
Literally.
Play the current.
Playing the current to cover as much ground fishing as possible.
Mm-hmm. And for most people, I was telling you about where we ran today and seeing all those snook. Even on a pretty high water, it's still pretty shallow back there. But it seemed like any points, like peninsulas where the water moved around, corners, or even big sand holes, it seemed like there was fish in them. A lot of small trout, a lot of real small trout, actually, like 5 to 10 inch trout.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, you're the second person to tell me that about tiny trout they've come across. Cliff was out, actually, with Carl, and while his kids actually caught a couple of nice fish, Cliff caught one, he said, like 6-inch trout, and 1 7-inch trout. That was all he got.
The puffer fish are outrageous, so don't throw nothing colorful or nothing expensive for soft plastics.
I probably
went through about 20 of them
in
a half hour.
Yeah, a storm came in, and they have all these new lures, and I just bought all these new storm lures and stuff, and I know we don't need any more new lures, and where am I going to put them? And Yeah, I know, but it's still, it's like, where are we going to put this stuff?
The customers need them, Frank.
Yeah, I know, but I've got all these sheets of pegboard in the back. I just got to figure out how to start putting them up.
We'll start hanging them from the ceiling.
Yeah, I'm working on that.
Oh, Lord.
So, but that was the big issue I had, was so many bright tails. I said, yeah, it's cool, but this is like a puffer fish thing. He says, well, you'll make more money that way. You know, because they're just, these are faulty. The tails fall off. No, look, it's not, got a little curved edge on it.
There you go. And I love gulp to death. Don't get me wrong. I like throwing them at anything. But when they're a buck a piece out of the pack and you get two casts out of them, I'm going to go to something a little like a DOA paddle tail or something else.
Yeah, I'm going to the cow shads.
And you know, I couldn't get none of them to eat like a small Seville or a small mirror lure or anything, so we had to stick to the soft plastic. They like the up and down action on the lure versus a side to side. Seemed like they like the fall on it a lot better.
Really?
Yeah, I couldn't get nothing on a Seville or on a mirror lure. I threw it for probably an hour, didn't get nothing. Switched over to soft plastic and really started catching them.
Hmm.
I don't even know what soft plastic it was, but it was like a new penny color.
Right.
And actually a chartreuse head, too. I don't fish a chartreuse head too often, but it seemed to work pretty good.
Well, that's one of the things that I like, that salt and pepper with the kind of white belly. It's got a clear back on it with silver and black glitter, kind of a whitish gray belly.
And a puffer fish eating tail.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I've caught so many fish on that. It's unbelievable. I usually use the DOA. If I don't have the DOA, I use the Bass Assassin.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the red jig head most of the time, but sometimes I actually, if I can find a yellow, I've had really good luck with the yellow heads.
Mm-hmm.
And chartreuse is my third choice. But, man, I'll tell you what, I catch so many snook casting those paddle tails along the beaches like that. It's just crazy. I think the only other thing that would come close is a storm twitch.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I fish the DOA cows a lot. I've also fished the Bass Assassins a lot. And they're almost identical if you had each of them in your hand, but I do like the Bass Assassins a lot better. And the reason I like them better is because when they package them, they put all the tails in the package to where the tails stay straight. The DOA ones, when they come in the package, they're just kind of thrown in the package. So you'll pull them out and you'll get a couple of them where the tail will be cockeyed sideways, like really bad, especially if you leave them in your tackle box. And when you rig them up, they spin in circles when you reel them back to you. The other ones, the way they package them, they set them in the package to where the tails lay straight. So every one of them is perfect.
Well, I bet you Mark is going to be sad to hear that, and the guy from Bass Assassin is going to be happy. They're both really
don't
nice
get me
guys.
Wrong. I got both of them in my box, but that, I just like the packaging better.
I got to tell you, I'm way better friends with Mark Nichols. I've known Mark. He is one of my absolute heroes in the industry. The guy is amazing. I really don't think you can find a nicer person than Mark Nichols.
Yeah,
I
mean, I'm
just
with you.
Great. But the guy from Bass Assassin is just cool. He's a great guy, down to earth, nice as he can be. So, you know, either one's a good choice. You know, what do you, you know,
how
yeah,
do you, they're a buck more a pack, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, here. A lot of places, they'd be pretty much equal. But I think most places are more equal. But in this store, the DOA is a lot less expensive. But I like. Paddle Tail to me works so well because if I'm going up along the shoreline casting it, I can throw it, let it hit bottom in the sand, bounce it along. I can swim it back like a swim bait where it's not jigging it. I can jig it up and down. I can fish very deep, very shallow. I can mix it up with the exact same lure. I don't have to carry five lures with me. I don't have to have a jig and a...
That's why that's my favorite, too. I like any kind of soft plastic I can rig on a jig head. But if you're going to go out there and you're going to throw soft plastics, I highly recommend having some weedless hooks in your box. There's a lot of grass out there.
Storm's coming out with a whole line of stuff, and you get one pre-rigged with a weedless hook with a belly weight on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it comes with extra tails. They got paddle tails. They got a new shrimp one with kind of a cup shrimp tail on it.
Okay.
They're not going to be out till a little bit later this year. I got to see the previews of it. You guys are hearing what you're not supposed to hear. You're not supposed to know about this. Yeah. Nobody talk about this because I just messed up. We're not supposed to talk about this till after I cast. But I wasn't thinking. Otherwise, I'd grab that book. I got the new master catalog in there. Hang on just a second. Let me hit pause and we'll go get it. All right. I went in, got the catalog. Austin's got the catalog in front of me. Is that a cool tail on that shrimp or what?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it points back down like towards the bottom. So as you lift your rod tip up, it's going to give it a lot of action and a lot of vibration in the water.
It's going to act like a paddle tail,
mm-hmm.
but it's on a shrimp. What do you think of the weedless worm hooks on that?
I like the weedless worm hooks a lot.
Now, go to the next page and look. I've got a catalog we're not supposed to have here, boys and girls. see the paddle tails, and they've got them weedless. I did not buy the ones with the jig heads because we have plenty of jig heads
yeah.
we can sell people.
Okay.
But I bought all the stuff with the weedless stuff.
I like the tails on these. They're really big tails, and it makes a big difference because on a big tail on a soft plastic, you can work it very slowly and you get a lot of vibration out of it. It doesn't fall too fast on you. There's just a bunch of reasons why. It gives a lot of side to side action too. And what do you got here, jerk shads?
Yeah, these are jerk shads, and I bought them again only in the weedless hook because, you know, I can show you how if you don't know how to put a jig head in one of these baits, when you come in, just ask us. We'll show you how to do it. It's real simple. But there is a technique to it, and we'll be happy. We have a table there that we do nothing but teach on all day long. We've got people at that table. We're teaching them how to rig plastics, how to tie knots. You know, we have a section of the store that's dedicated to nothing but teaching. Now, these jerkbaits, look at the tails on the one. Now
the split.
Now, the split tail isn't really a split tail.
It's
got two heavy...
round tips
on it, and then it's got a membrane across the two of them.
So pretty much it looks like a tail of a fish turned sideways.
Flat, yeah. It's,
yep.
I'm not sure if that's going to be good or bad. Now, the other one there, it's got kind of a pointy tail with a little round thing in it.
It reminds me of a Little John.
That's what I was thinking. It reminded me of a Little John, and I said, you know what? I'm wondering if you put a jig head in this, if it'll compete with a Little John.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of a fatter body to it, so it'll fall a little bit slower, too. I really like the stuff that falls a little bit slower, that you can work slower, especially if there's a lot of grass, because you can keep it above the grass without reeling it in at Mach 2 in front of all these fish.
All right, now here's the thing, boys and girls. All right, when you're dealing with jerk baits, yeah, that's it.
Okay.
I bought all that stuff. I've got
cool.
You mean, yeah.
I like their colors, too, but I'll keep that quiet.
Yeah, there's some nice stuff. And you guys never heard this. We're not talking about any baits that are going to debut in ICAST that only radio fishing people, they don't know anything about them.
They probably don't believe us anyway.
But, I'm kind of excited for the fall. But getting back to it, jerk baits. When you have a weedless worm hook and no weight, you get one action. A weedless worm hook with a weight on the belly of it, you have another action. And when you use a jig head, it's a completely different action.
Exactly, 100% different.
Because you've really got to know what style you're going to fish it with and what you're going to do with it before you decide, are you going to use a worm hook, a weighted hook, a weighted worm hook, or a jig head.
Yeah.
Now, I actually fish all three methods for different ways. What do you do with them?
I very, very rarely fish one without a weight on it. If I did that, I would be strictly targeting snook. I don't have much faith in redfish with them that way. And the reason is, I mean, I like throwing top water for redfish and stuff too, but their mouth is on the bottom, so it's very, very hard for them to get their head out of the water to eat something on the surface. But it's very cool.
Big round nose in front of their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough because that nose comes way out like a clown nose.
Mm-hmm.
And then their mouth is on the bottom, recessed back along their head.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing cooler than seeing a redfish eat a topwater, though.
Oh, yeah, because they swirl up on it.
Oh,
it's a boil. And what they do is they come up in a circular motion. And when they go around the top,
they engulf it.
Yeah, and they have to come up, and they almost bend their body in a U-shape to swirl in. It's kind of like they're trying to entrap it and eat it at the same time.
Yeah, one of my favorites is when you throw it out real far, and one actually V-lines to it and just annihilates it. But anyway, back on subject, what we were talking about, I like an 1/8 or a 16th ounce weedless
worm. Do we have to get back on subject?
We don't have to.
Okay, back on subject. All right.
Now, we can talk about how cool the fish are, but you want to know how to catch them first, don't you?
You're using an 1/8 ounce jig head or weight on a worm hook?
Weedless worm hook, an 1/8 or a 16th ounce. If the grass is thick or you're in shallow water, drop to a 16th ounce so it doesn't sink as fast. If you're in 3 feet of water plus, definitely use an 1/8 ounce. I do prefer a jig head better if I can get away with using it. If there's not too much grass, but I don't like picking it off every cast. The reason I like a jig head better is because it falls nose first versus body first. If it does fall significantly faster, even with the same weight, because it falls frontwards. And I like it that way because I can bounce it off the bottom a little bit easier than I can if it has the weight in the middle of the body, because it sinks very, very slow. But you can work it across the grass real easy with a weedless hook. You can even reel it through the grass, right through the middle of it. And that works really, really well. And Frank was saying a minute ago that we'll help you rig up stuff. Everybody I fish with always tells me I'm the worst. When I rig stuff up, if it's crooked and it doesn't swim right, I take it off and put a new one on. I don't have confidence in something that spins through the water or doesn't look like a fish. I only get to fish so much, so when I go out there, I want every chance I can get to catch them. So.
Now, that's where I was mentioning where we teach people how to rig them, because getting it right, making it look right, work right, so it's not upside down, so it is the right way. The paddle tail should point down, not up, and there's a lot of different things. Now, I'm pretty good at rigging them and getting them to run perfectly. And then the thing I've practiced is how to mess them up on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I'm doing a worm hook in them, sometimes if I'm not doing a weighted one, I like to rig it so that the nose of that the jerk bait is tilted up just a little bit.
To where it comes out of the water like a topwater.
And then I can twitch it and it will literally, you know, head towards the surface, or if it happens to be to the side, it gives it a really erratic action. So the first thing to do is learn how to rig them perfectly. Make sure you know how to do it exactly correct. And then learn how to mess it up to mm-hmm. give it different actions, different results. And if you're rigging it and you're catching a lot of fish with it and you don't know what you did.
Yeah, look at it.
And then it's gone. You put another one on and you throw it, you're not catching fish. It's because when you rigged it up that first time, it may have had a little bend in the body that the fish were just going crazy over and hitting, and then you throw it out, you catch a fish, And then you go to rig the second one, you're not getting hits in the same spot. Could be just simply you didn't rig it the same way twice.
Yeah. When I rig paddle tails in particular, if I reel them up and I get them next to the boat and they're totally on their side at the speed I reel it to fish with, if they're totally sideways, I take it off and put a new one on. He was rigged crooked. He had a messed up tail or something. And I think that makes all the difference in the world. I really do. I think it makes a huge difference.
Well, and it's one thing about doing that, and it's the one problem for you radio fishing listeners is we get a one subject, we end up somewhere else. But I just thought those new storm baits and coming pre-rigged with the worm hook in them, mm-hmm. and then you get some extra bodies to go with it. We've got those, and it's the, let me have that book for a second, because I don't remember, 360, is that what it is?
360 GT.
Yeah, 360 GTs. We've got those in. Those are search baits. Really good for casting around, getting hits, and doing
GT
stuff like
Coastals
that.
GT Coastals are the new ones.
And then the GT Coastals. And I mean, but Storm's coming out with some really cool stuff. We're one of the top Storm dealers in the United States, I think mostly because of the Twitch baits. You know, for 2 years, I can't actually show people the numbers, but I believe in 2014 and 15, I outsold Canada in Storm
all
products.
Canada?
All of Canada. I sold more than Canada for 2 years.
Holy crap.
And I love Canadians, great people, but I whooped you, boys. The whole damn country. We kicked your butt. We sold more Storm than the whole damn country, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, when you walk in, it doesn't look like much, but...
Yeah, we sold a lot of Storm baits for... They were shipping them from the manufacturing thing. They didn't even go to the warehouse. They went right from there, shipped directly to the store. So we did pretty good with Storm for a while.
That's what happens when people snookfish so much. We go through a lot of them.
And it was... And that was just it, but they were fishing everything with them.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing. And Storm is a division of Rapala. If you're wondering why the lures are so good, they're Rapala. They're Rapala lures. It's just a less expensive, one of their less expensive brands. Mm-hmm. So you $6.50, you know, $6.49 or less for a bait, you know, and that makes them very attractive. And catching a lot of fish and not costing much, that's a good lure.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of why DOA sells so good. I think they just catch a lot of fish, and they're inexpensive.
Yeah.
That's like the perfect combination.
Keep it simple.
Yep. So anyway, let's see. Did you guys see any sharks, tarpon, anything else while you were out?
I've seen one big tarpon roll in Turtle Bay, and I would say we've seen like a half a dozen sharks on the flats, about 5 foot, but they're just a few spotty ones here and there.
All right. What other kind of wisdom? You know, it's hard to tell. I'm going to look into checking the wind in the morning and try and put safe spots for the fishing in the wind, you know.
Yeah, don't put in at the Port Charlotte Beach and run to the west wall. It was a little bit bumpy.
Yeah, I'm gonna try and figure out some routes and places for people when the wind is blowing, because I think that's what it's going to boil down to here this year. I'm not sure the wind's really going to back off. If you're out first thing in the morning, you got till 9, 10 o'clock, and then the wind's going to pick up.
Yeah, not even today, too. I mean, it was blowing 10, 15 right out the gate.
It's hard to believe it rained today.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I walked outside, and it's pretty vulgar description of what I thought was going on, homeless guy on the roof. But I was like, what the heck is this? I walked out, my feet are wet, and there's all this stuff falling out of the sky. What is this? Been so long since
it was great. You got home, it cleaned the boat, it was perfect. We're great.
Yeah, it's always nice when you get your rods rinsed off on the ride home.
You drive home slow when it rains and you got the boat behind you. Works great.
So let's see. What are we talking about now?
Whatever you want.
Is there anything else we should be talking about?
I think we've pretty much covered it.
If today's Friday, so in your best captain opinion, Captain Austin, what's best bet for the weekend for your average going out just catching some fish?
If you want to go bend the rod, there's a ton of sharks to play with out there if the wind lays down enough. I think that it's going to be east-southeasterly wind, so you should be able to get on the outside of the bar around burnt store area, around 8 feet of water, hang a chum bag off the back of the boat and catch some fish. You're going to have pretty crappy tides in the afternoon, so the shark fishing thing can be really good for you. Around marker 5, if it's not too bumpy out there, hang a chum bag off the back of the boat and throw chunks of mullet behind you. Throw one rod if you got a big rod with a whole mullet on it. The shark are just a real fun thing to catch. There's some big ones out there. It keeps the rod bent. And a lot of times you'll even get small black tips to come up in your chum slick right behind the boat. Tarpon in the area. You might catch a cobia. It's endless out there. There's a lot of big fish to catch. Cool. You can catch redfish all year round. You can't catch shark and cobia and tarpon all year round. So
yeah, it's a good time to change it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And sometimes I would have to say, in my opinion, one of the most fun to catch fish on the planet that I've been lucky enough to fish a lot, is black tip shark.
Black tip sharks on light tackle. I knew you were going to say that. Yeah. Short steel leader with a small piece of mullet. I like flipping to them in the chum slick if you can get them up and pick and choose which one you want. That's real fun. I use a short piece of
try and do it with a skitter walk sometime.
Oh, yeah. I've done that wading a bunch of times, catching sharks. There were too many sharks around us. We didn't want to catch them, so we were throwing a silver Zara Spook, and we probably caught 15 sharks wading, and they were all 3 to 5 foot.
And it's just a riot when they hit that top water.
Yeah, it's a riot when they get up next to you, and you're in the water with them, too.
You got to get the treble hooks out of their mouth.
Yeah, for any of you guys that don't know, sharks don't like metal in their mouth of any sort. Pliers, they like fingers in their mouth, though.
They'll enjoy the fingers.
Yeah.
At least they get a snack for their trouble.
Oh, my God. That was the least lure we caught them on.
You got to picture this. Right now, there's a guy sitting in Cincinnati or Ottawa, Canada, or in London, and he's listening to you. And I start talking about throwing topwaters for sharks while they're in the chub slick. And now you're talking about you're standing in the water waiting in almost waist-deep water. You've got a shark on the line. You got to bring him up, get him off the hook. So you're grabbing that shark while he's in the water.
Oh, I'll never forget. Me and Matt, the one day we go wade fishing, and we seen one shark out there. He was about 6 foot, and we knew there were redfish like 200 yards down the shoreline. That was the only way to get to him. We weren't on a boat or anything. So we're like, okay, we'll kind of stay hug the shore kind of close to it, but it was still deep on the shore, and we'll walk. He shouldn't bother us. We get probably 100 yards or so. We're 50 yards from the shore, 100 yards from where we put in at, and now there's like 6 sharks around us, and we caught a couple on soft plastic, so we're like, okay, let's switch over to a topwater and start fishing that. Little did I know, sharks like topwater more than they like about anything else.
It's amazing to catch sharks on topwater.
Yeah, their mouth is on the bottom, too, so they come out.
They come out, they do flips in the air, they're very acrobatic.
I didn't mind giving them those couple either. He could have them.
I'm sitting here picturing you bringing that shark up, trying to grab him by the back of the head while he's swimming next to you.
Every other kind of fish you catch while you're wade fishing run away from you, not a stupid shark. They come right to you. I don't mind wade fishing with them, but I don't really like catching them wade fishing. They're a pain in the butt.
I had a customer on one time. I think he was from Southern Illinois.
Uh-oh.
And he wanted to go wade fishing. He had heard and just had to go wade fishing. He wanted to catch snook and redfish wade fishing.
Not sharks.
And so we go over to Mangrove Point, and you know how you got the sandbars? It gets real shallow, then you got the sandbars mm-hmm. and the holes, and it gets deep behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Anchored the boat up in the shallows there. Get out, and we'll start wading up there, and you've got that one trough where it gets down just above your waist,
mm-hmm.
or just above your waist. And we're just starting to walk up the other side. And so I said, okay, we're going to cast from here. And we start, I had pockets full of white bait. I was putting the white bait in my pockets.
There's your first dumb move.
Well,
I don't keep fish when I wade fish.
this guy was, he couldn't throw a lure. He had never really done anything like that before. So, and he just really wanted to catch some fish. So he's got the bait on, throws it out there, catches a redfish, and brings it up and taking it off. And I go to put it on a stringer because he wanted one to eat and one he caught while he was waiting. And so I got the redfish on the stringer. I got pockets full of white bait. I bait his hook up for him. He goes to cast because you know, it's too hard to hand bait. You know, he could bait his own hook and all that. But so I baited up, he throws there, and he gets a hit, misses it. And then all of a sudden, between me and him, this, I'm sure it was a bull shark, it might have been a lemon, comes up and kind of, he, you could tell he wanted that redfish. And he kind of body checks me, like, get out of my way, and made this big splash between me and him, and we're 6 feet apart. And you saw this big shadow of the water. I don't think the guy ever touched bottom getting back in the boat.
I mean,
literally, you know, with the big knee, high knee stepping thing, just boom, 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 boom.
As the shark fins behind him and everything.
I think he scared the poor shark.
I don't mind wade fishing with them, but I just poke them with my rod tip and hope they go the other way and don't get interested.
I didn't see
them
coming, or I would have, you know, held them off with my rod. I'd fish and pull my hand. I would have just tapped him good.
Mind you, if you go wade fishing with a couple of your buddies, you only got to be faster than them, not faster than the shark.
You don't have to be faster than the shark, just faster than them. But he body slammed me. I mean, he just came up full on, right, you know,
about
in the middle of his
over.
Body. Because I was in his way of getting the redfish. Mm-hmm. So, and then he leaves me there with the stupid shark. And I'm looking around going, this is not good. But I don't run and splash when it comes to sharks. I ease very slowly.
A part I left out, that same flat that Matt and I were wade fishing, it was 3 days before my birthday. The next day, I got a phone call from my friend. He goes, man, we got to go shark fishing. He goes, I've been shark fishing this week. I caught like 6 of them. I'm like, oh, really? Cool. I'll meet up with you tomorrow. We met up. Where did we go? We went to the same freaking place that we got in the water at and caught sharks. I swear to God, honest to God.
Well, there were sharks there.
Yeah, we caught sharks on my birthday. We caught like 6 of them. The smallest one was 5 foot.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, no. Never again to this day have I wade fished there. Ever.
Ever.
Ever. There's just too many of them. That was one of the spots we seen a shark today, actually. Oh, my God.
I actually, yeah, it's funny. It may sound like we're kind of brave or whatever, but most of us
are scared
while
to death.
We're scared, but we also know that sharks very rarely attack people. It's we're an annoyance for them, and usually if you get bit, it's because you made him mad or you were did something to that shark.
Yeah, even though they don't bite many people, when you're in the water and you see one, you're going to feel like you're that 1% at the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're definitely that 1%er right there.
Yeah.
You know, he's looking at you, your lunch, and that's all there is to it. The logic part of your brain can tell you chance of you getting bitten by that shark is like 14 million to 1.
But that one.
The 99% of your brain and 100% of that little primitive part in the back that makes your hair stand up says, help, I'm out of here! Screaming back to the boat.
Just don't smell like a mullet and you're good.
Well, I can tell you, with most people, that's the last thing they smelled like. There's a whole different odor about it when they start running from a shark to the boat.
Wear your brown pants.
Yeah, wear your brown pants. Good idea. Okay. Anyway, but a lot of fun. It's one of the things, you know, and when you live down here, there's so many different experiences that, good and bad, that you go through. But it's just funny how we take alligators for granted and that we know there's sharks here. We know there's gators here. We know all the rest of it. But when you first come down here, everything's a little freaky.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, when you're waiting up north, you have visions of a crawdad maybe trying to bite you or a snapping turtle or something. But down here,
we got man-eaters.
Literally what's trying to bite you is as big as you are.
Or bigger.
Or bigger.
I tell people in here all the time, they ask if I'm scared of sharks. I'm like, I don't enjoy being in the water with them, but I'll take my chances with a shark over a gator in a heartbeat. And a lot of people disagree, but I will always take my chances with a shark over a gator.
Gators are stupid. They have a brain about the size.
That's what makes me scared.
Yeah, because their brain is about the size of the end of your little finger. And they are just as dumb as a bag of rocks walking or swimming. And so, yeah, I'm going to go along with you on that. Sharks are a lot smarter. They kind of know the difference with gators.
You can look like a topwater lure to them.
Well, if you're wading in deep water, you're only as tall as the part of you sticking out of the water. They have no conception that, you know, there's a big body underneath the water as big as they are. They just look and see the little, you know, bits that's sticking up out of the water. So, you know, if you're in knee-deep water, you're a lot bigger object to them. But if you're in waist-deep water, you're much smaller. You're more bite-sized for them.
Yeah.
It's the very simplistic way of looking at the world. But we'll get into that more on a bass fishing program one time.
That works for me. That won't be me.
It won't be you.
No. We'll send Steve back here.
Yeah, peg leg. He's still big into the bass there you fishing. Go. You know, it's funny. You know, would you say that? I don't. Anyway, getting off the subject. The show's over, and the crowd's cheering that we finally just
had enough boredom.
Ended this nonsense for you, and there's your relief, folks. The madness has ended. You don't have, well, there's no channel to change. You just click on and off. So
yeah, you can turn us off whenever you want.
Yeah,
well, we know you can't be listening right now.
So for all the guys up in Lakeland, hey guys, thank you for listening. We appreciate the support from Lakeland, Hardy County, all over Florida. Thanks for coming to the store. Thanks for stopping in and saying hi. We appreciate the visit. If you're here to stop and pick up something or just stop in to say hi, we appreciate it when you guys do that. We've got people from all over the state that have been swinging in to say hi to us, and we really enjoy it. And thank you very much for the business and the support. And Fish and Franks in Port Charlotte or in the Engman Marine Boat Dealership in North Fort Myers. Captain Austin, say goodbye.
Have a good one, guys.
All right. See you guys. Thanks.